following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Just going to look at a few verses in Genesis. I have been listening, I think Gene is too, to a wonderful series on my iPod by Chuck Missler, Genesis series. It's like 15 sermons, and then he does one on every chapter in the whole Bible, doesn't he? And so I'm just beginning, man. This guy's he's kind of an expert scientist, physicist that teaches the Word. And it's really wonderful to listen to this gentleman. He's a spirit-filled believer. This particular teaching series was done back in the 70s, but the Word isn't old. And there was something that, when I was listening to it this week, the Lord quickened me. I want to show you a passage in Genesis 11:27. This is talking about Abram, and see if this isn't applicable to you. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram. Terah was Abraham's dad. Nahor, this is Genesis 11:27. Nahor and Haran. That was Abraham's two brothers, Nahor and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. Now, y'all know about Lot. Lot was Abram's nephew, his brother's son. Now, verse 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, which was later Sarah. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. And Sarai, I guess you would say, it was barren, and she had no child. Of course, we know there was so much in the book of Genesis about her ultimately getting the child of promise. Remember that? Isaac. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah's daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them, look at this, from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now, this is purely a coincidence that they ended up in a town, the name of one of his sons, who had died. Apparently, I've read some commentaries on it. They just said it's a coincidence. They ended up in a town, the name of the son. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto land that I will show you. Now, what I want to show you is that, I don't know if you've ever seen this in this passage, but the family of Abram was headed to the land of Canaan, but they stopped short at Haran. Because the next chapter really wasn't the call of Abram. It was like God going back and saying, wait a minute, you didn't do what I said. I said to depart from your family and go to the land of Canaan. They were headed to the land of Canaan, but they just went, and it's interesting, it was upriver, and stop short at the land of Haran. Anybody know what Haran means, the word means? Well, I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. It means parched and desolate place. Isn't that interesting? Here's the question I want to ask you this morning. Has the Lord called you to something? Has the Lord, because he called them to the land of promise. He called them to separate. He called Abram to separate himself from his family to go all the way to Canaan. Okay? Instead, they went upriver and they stopped off at Haran at the land of promise. I'm sorry, at the parched and desolate place. Has God called you to something and you've stopped short? Has God called you here and you hear him and you say, yeah, but you don't quite make it. You kind of go somewhere else and you camp out and you stay there. So really, it's an incomplete partial obedience, and you end up dry and thirsty land. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Might relate that to your life. You know the Lord's called you all the way to here, and so you have a form of godliness, and you want to obey the Lord, but you really don't, because you haven't died yet. I'm going to show you, it was only after a funeral they obeyed the Lord. Because they went up to Haran, the place of partial obedience, and they sat. But Haran was a dry and desolate place. And what happens is when you only put the pedal halfway to the metal, you're going to end up somewhere. Psalm 68 says the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Where do the demons go when you cast them out? I mean, really, there isn't place in the Lord for Haran to hang out in the dry. Unfortunately, a lot of people do stop off there. But chapter 1 chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Now this is after his daddy died. And from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land I'll show you. Verse 2. And I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you. Make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. Verse 3. And I'll bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you. And you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Many of us have heard this scripture, particularly in regard to the blessing and the favor of the Jews. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He finally left the desolate place, the place that was parched land. Verse 5. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's sons, and all their substance that they gathered, and all the souls they'd gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go to the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Verse 6. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. What I want to show you, folks, is his dad died in chapter 11, 32, and in chapter 12, he finally obeyed. It was only after a funeral that he fully followed and obeyed. Now, what's the message? What is it in you that needs to die that's holding you back from fulfilling and doing what God has said? Now, you know, when you read the story of Abraham, he's one of those guys in the Bible that you just figure did no wrong. You know, there's a couple of them like that. Man, I tell you, from the get-go, he got off on the wrong foot. He ended up, he was full of fear. He was a liar. He was all kind of spirits. He ended up going out. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt, to run away. We know if you study the story, he was afraid. He told his wife to not tell the truth to the king, a half-truth. He got caught in his lie, and he was y'all know what I'm talking about? Abram had a lie. He kind of was like, I wonder where Jacob got some of his slipperiness. Maybe from his granddad, you know? But in the very beginning, part of Abram's problem was he didn't drop his nets and follow Jesus. A lot of people, they drop their nets, but they kind of hang on to the rest of the stuff. You know, the grappling hooks, the tackle box, you know, all those, all the other things. You know, okay, I dropped the nets, Lord, to be legalistic, but there's a lot of other paraphernalia involved with fishing. Now I'm dragging a boat. Well, the nets are still back there. You said drop the nets. Well, what's that with it? Well, you didn't say drop the boat. See, unfortunately, a lot of people with the Lord, they're legalistic. They I'm following you, Jesus, and like when they sing that song, you know. We don't sing that much. I surrender 89%. I surrender. You know, that would really be refreshing to hear that, wouldn't it? Because isn't that the truth? I mean, people say, I surrender all. I mean, they ain't even got to the parking lot before already fighting God about something. Right? Or being pervasive. And I've learned something about Jesus. All these years I've walked with Jesus. That he means what he says. He is a jealous God. And the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I tell you what, he's going to go after the very thing you're hanging on to, because that's an idol. And the irony of the thing is, we are dumb sheep. Because the very thing you're hanging on to, when you finally let it go, he gives you 50 more just like it better. Trust me. But we cling to our little ashes when he wants to give us beauty. And when you finally die the thing, if his seed just dies, dude, one seed will spring up a whole garden of glory. And trust me. But we will spend decades hanging on to the paltry and the small when God wants to bless us. Am I right? So you just, you know, that's why I found that really messed up, demonized people that really been in the world, big time. I mean, just, you know, people with tattoos and stuff, you know. I mean, people that just really messed up people and alcoholics and stuff. You know what? They put the pedal to the metal. They come in. I mean, I think of Clint. Clint's a nice, normal young guy now. But when he showed, I think, he was really messed up when he came. And he just, I've heard stories. But you know what? Clint has been pedal to the metal ever since. Seth back there. Just, you know, he's been putting the pedal to the metal. Amen? How many of y'all came in, you kind of had it somewhat together? And you've been religious, and you're still kind of sniffing around, see if the world has something out there. Okay, let's close this out. Guys, this is a short sermon. Verse 7. This is amazing. Let me tell you, this is so cool. The teaching today is a fresh word after complete obedience. Listen again. A fresh word comes after you separate a complete obedience. It was in verse 7 that the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "Unto your seed will I give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. Now, I want to show you something if you'll follow this. God appeared to Abram. God manifested his presence. He actually experienced a contact with the appearance of the Lord only after he fully obeyed. All those years, the Lord called him. But because he kind of dawdled and kind of went, you know, plan B, not plan A, is go from point one to point one. He went around here. When he finally obeyed, God spoke. And he built an altar. And what's the message? Only then, after separating himself from the old, did God give fresh rhema. Now, here's the teaching this morning. I don't know about you, but I want fresh rhema. I want something fresh from the Lord. I really appreciate that fresh rhema scripture, a word that I got Friday night about cancer. That was a fresh rhema word. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word, every rhema, quickened word from heaven. I need that every day. I really want to move in some levels I've not moved in. But guys, you know what? There's something incumbent upon me to do for that to happen. I have to separate myself. I have to depart. I have to get you and completely obey the Lord and go exactly where he's telling me to go. And then, bam, everything I wanted, needed is there, plus him. And I hear his word. And it's interesting, he didn't speak until finally, I think, Abram finally got his feet on the ground he was supposed to be. There, God says, boom. Okay, and it wasn't anything particularly profound. I'm going to give all this land to you and your seed. It's all yours. But I had to get you here to show you. I'm not going to show you back there. You got to get on it, and I'll show it to you. And when you get, and it's all about faith, guys, when you just get out of your boat, if you're waiting, like we're talking about healing the sick, raising the dead and all this stuff, if you're thinking, well, Lord, I want to see signs and wonders, you got to put your hand on somebody for it to happen. Right? Lay hands on the sick. You see somebody at the store, some person at work or something that's ill. Folks, go over there and get through your embarrassment and lay hands on the sick and watch God show up. He may not, and he may. The other day, at my office, one of the guys sent an email all around that he had lost his PDA. In fact, they even sent a photo of it, and they were just wondering if anybody had found it. Well, I walked in the office, and there was all these people back in the back room. And I'd just been listening to my iPod, a teaching of this ministry where this last week, God had been showing people who were praying, and stuff they'd lost, they were finding. In fact, this lady had just lost one of those things you put in your mouth to keep from grinding your teeth. Cost her $300. She didn't know where it was. She scoured everything. And she finally threw her head back. She was folding clothes. She threw her head back and said, "Oh, Lord, please look down." It was sitting right on the shirt. Dude. A couple of testimonies like that. So I walked in, and it was CJ. And he was sitting there, and the Lord quickened to me, "Well, go over to CJ." Well, it turns out a bunch of these guys know Jesus. So I went back in that back room, and I said in front of all, I said, "I just listened to testimony. CJ, let's all pray." So everybody in that room, we just stopped, and we prayed, and I laid hands on him, and we said, "Lord, would you please, in your mercy, let that PDA show up to CJ?" CJ loves Jesus. Good guy. And we prayed, and you know what happened instantly? Nothing. I don't know, he may have now still found it. That's okay. You know, I learned, I loved him, I stepped out of the boat, I prayed, I don't know. There's been instances I've done that, walk out, and there it is. But there's been just as many walk out, there it isn't there. But you know, the difference is the result is left up to God. That's God. If God didn't want to show up to PD, maybe he's going to end up buying a new one, I don't know. But I did the right thing. At least I got out there, got out of the boat, and said, "Let's pray." You know, right there, the kingdom can go forth. It gets people a little more bolder. So the question this morning is, what do you need to separate from? Ungodly relationships, compulsive habits, addictions, fleshly comforts, the little foxes, See, your drawing away draws him to you. Last place we're going to look to close it up, Isaiah 58:13. I want to say that again. Your drawing away from the evil draws him to you. It may be there's a habit. There's a compulsive problem. There's an addiction. It may be food. It may be lust. Whatever it is. And God is saying, and you're kind of, yeah, you're repenting, but you kind of keep, and God's saying, look, you don't understand. Renounce. Come out of there. Be separate. Come into here. And God will show up with power that you never dreamed. If you just give away and let go the little comfort thing you run to and let it go and see what God has for you. And this scripture summates that, Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath speaks of sitting in his rest, and from doing your pleasure on my holy day, Isaiah 58:13, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord and honorable, and you'll honor him not doing your own ways or your own pleasure or speaking your own words. What he's saying, separate yourself. Stop. You know, honor me. Honor what I've called you to do. Come and look at the result. Then you will delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord is speaking. That is so cool. We're called to live in the high places, remember? And the promise here is not only live, but I'll put you on a cart, man. You will ride in the high places. You'll get on my chariot up there, and you'll soar. In fact, you know what the message scripture passage reads? You will ride high and soar above it all. As a result of finally separating and dying to the Harans, the things that dry you up. And so the question remains this morning in conclusion is, how many of y'all are sick and tired of being sick and tired? How many of y'all have experienced some level of spiritual dryness or desolation, or you hadn't heard anything fresh from the Lord? I've been talking about all this stuff, and you say, well, I've experienced that. Well, I would encourage you to go to the Lord and say, send the Holy Spirit and search me and show me what it is I'm hanging on to tenaciously for comfort. And it may be some little habit that's not even a big deal, or it may be more grievous sin, whatever it is. The Lord's saying, look, you don't understand. It's not that I'm all over you because you're being bad and I want you to be good. If you just let it go and walk away from it, trust me, I will give you to such a degree, you'll look back and see whatever that little fetish or hang up or thing was for what it was. It just was a little fox that spoiled the vines of your life. Can you hear an amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray. You bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit to us. And the courage, Jesus, this morning. For I know you've called us all to a land of promise. But we, and I speak of my, just as much of myself, we tend to just go upriver and camp out of Haran. And it takes a funeral. It takes something has to die, something calamitous, something significant to you often, something traumatic that finally snaps us. Well, maybe we ought to obey the Lord. And then, Lord Jesus, you're so gracious when we finally do. You didn't get on Abram. You didn't beat him up. You didn't say, about time you got here, boy. Been waiting on you. You simply manifested and gave him a wonderful promise. Lord, I thank you for your forbearance and your patience and your love. But, Lord, help us to be wise, because the days are evil. Redeem in the time, Lord Jesus. Put the pedal to the metal, for the days are getting darker and darker, Lord. Have mercy. I want to say something here I said Friday night. I don't know if y'all are aware of it, but do y'all know what the biggest church in America is now? The biggest church in America, the pastor is Oprah Winfrey. And it's now 2 million people plug into this new age. The woman has gotten into some blatant occultic new age teaching that's meshed with Christianity, and it is wicked from hell, and millions of people are going to go to hell because of Oprah Winfrey. And this woman was she was a Baptist girl, and she has forsaken the faith of her fathers and has gone the way of New Age occultism, cloaked in some kind of weird life. And I'm telling you, you know people, this is a wicked thing in our land, and the Lord loves that woman. Father, we pray for Oprah Winfrey this morning. She has a powerful territorial antichrist spirit on her. I challenge you folks, if you watch her, do not watch that show. It is laced with witchcraft and evil. Oh, it may sound good, but that she has led, what I realize is millions, it's only after she has a following of millions of people, over the last 10 years, that now she's steering them into this weird way. And they say that it's the biggest church in the world now. It's the Oprah Winfrey. It's some kind of a media church she has. She comes on TV and video, and she talks about and brings in these speakers. And I'm telling you, it's pure, unadulterated New Age Gaga. I know. It's weird. And I've researched a lot. And I encourage you guys that what's happened is, I'm glad, the spirit in her is manifest. And this is a level of witchcraft that's coming to our culture, to typical middle-aged moms. That's her church. Just soccer moms. And you know where the fault is? It's the pastors. Because a lot of them go to church, and they're being taught. They're not warning them. He's like Harry Potter. They're not warning them. Oprah Winfrey's a witch. She's a witch, and she's leading millions to hell. And they're not warning them for that. I mean, people are going to be offended. But you know, that says to me, it's just part of the signs of the times. Amen? If it isn't one thing, it's another. This stuff is piled up week after week, month after month, year after year. And one day there's going to be this guy show up. It's kind of scary when they're talking about Barack Obama, the Messiah. You know, the Messiah. When anybody starts talking about any political leader as a Messiah, I go, oh Lord, there's something in the Bible about that. Well, he isn't. And don't worry, he's not the one. But there's going to be somebody going to come up, and the world's going to run after this guy. And it's going to be a lot of Christians. Oh, no. I know he's going to be persuaded. How many of y'all believe that's true? It's coming. Lord, make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves, Lord, in these evil days. I pray, Lord, you would keep us protected, and we would become prophetic warnings to those around us, Father. Lord, we would be bold and be willing to be stoned and mocked and persecuted as we speak the truth and warn those, Lord, that are going to hell for the wicked antichrist spirit of these end times. This is not a time to sit back, Lord, and hang out in Haran. This is a time to go into the land of promise. Nobody said. Let's all stand. I want to pray over you. Say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for camping out upstream. Help me cross the river and go where I need to go. And I know you'll be there with more than I've ever dreamed. Satan, you're a liar. I crush you under my feet. I will submit to the authority of Jesus. And let's just praise him. Just begin to give thanks and praise to Jesus. Come on, worship in the... Thank him this morning. Thank the Lord. Father, I pray right now as everyone's praising you. I break Antichrist. I pick the Antichrist spirit. I pick its power. I pick you in Jesus' name off these saints. Pick these spirits in Jesus' name. Unclean spirits, lying spirits, seducing spirits. I pick your power off this church and every member of it. Infirmity and sickness and fear of man, and fear of rejection and abandonment. I pick its power. Pick its power over the saints in the name of Jesus. Oh, Shatakataraman. Lord, we want to be bold. We want to be passionate. We want to be lights in this evil world this week. We want to stand up for Jesus Christ, Lord. Not deny you before men, but be bold, Lord. We pray, Father, when we lay hands on the sick, your power would come, Lord. Lord, when we lay hands, Lord, your power would come, and the sick would be healed. The lame would be healed. Eyes would be open, Lord. Deaf would hear. Come with power, Lord. As we're bold to get out of the boat, Jesus, you'd show up. We want fresh rhema, Jesus. Jesus. Now, Lord, I just pray protection. Lots and lots of angels around all of us, our children, Lord. Everywhere we go this week, just keep us safe, Father. And I pray a blessing, anointing all those that go on outreach tonight, Lord. The opportunity to reach out and help and serve and minister and love those that are hurting and needy. And everybody said.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.